Hello folks, welcome to How We Roll Podcast. We're doing our first end of story arc award show. We've got quite a lot of people on this episode. There's seven including myself. We'll do a quick introduction. Obviously I'm Owen from How We Roll. I'm going to be hosting this show. With me I've got Joe. Do you want to say hi, Joe?
Hey guys, I'm Joe, normally the host and DM, and I've stepped aside to let Owen take over today. See how that goes.
Yeah. We also have another one of the regular players in the show, Dave.
Hi, Dave Honecker, normally Bartholomew Ormond, or Osmond, depending on how drunk I am. I don't know how much more legs I can get out of that joke, but I'll keep trying.
And the final regular player we have is Aaron.
Hi, I'm Aaron. I play Spencer, and I've been promised a lot of free beer to show up tonight, so I'm just waiting for that now.
On his first audition, we have an intern who could potentially be a player, mate of mine, Niall. Do you want to say hello, Niall?
I'm not your friend, but yeah, hey.
I resent that characterization as your friend.
Not only not my friend, but not very good at interviews, Niall, potential future player. Then we've two special guests here. First up, we have Paul from Swordnut Radio. Paul, tell us a bit about yourself and your podcast.
I'm a person, I do stuff, and we make things.
I'll give Paul a bit more credit. Swordnut Radio is another role-playing podcast. They have some really good episodes. Their inspectors and stuff is good. I highly recommend them. He seems to be a bit of an asshole, so he fits in well with us.
That's the seal of approval from How We Roll. He's an asshole. We like him.
Be a dick. You're great.
If he uses the term, I know I'm an asshole, but he's one of us then. 03 or 2015.
I'm not an asshole, I'm a joy.
And right, last but not least, we've Supervan Bradley Evans.
Hello, I'm Bradley. I'm not really from anywhere, but one time James Amato retweeted me on Twitter, so there's that.
And if you're actually watching the stream, he's actually the cat, not the person. Yeah.
Took us a while to establish, but...
Yeah.
So, we haven't fully planned out this show, guys. We've got a list of six categories in front of us. We may add more. So just to foreshadow, the categories we're going to have is best NPC slash villain, best scenario, best death, favourite moment, best roleplay, and MVP.
Because so, organisation controls the fun.
Exactly. And we're all about control.
There must be regulations, there must be rules. There's definitely no fun.
So first off, guys, we've got best villain or NPC. I'm going to throw this out to the fans, first of all. So I'm going to go with Bradley. And who's your favorite NPC or villain?
I'll go with my favorite NPC was, I believe it was Mrs. Haggerty, the little old lady from...
oh, hell yeah.
The,
hell yeah.
Yes.
Well, the Witch campaign. She was hilarious.
So
I believe that was the one, yeah.
Blunderbuss.
It was a blunderbuster, yeah. It was, you put on, like, nails and shit like that.
So, who wants to give us a rundown of how she was introduced, Mrs. Haggerty?
She was basically driven mad after her husband tried to pimp her out to a witch from Salem. And she was living in a house when the guys tried to break in for information. If I remember rightly, she shot at them with an antique blunderbuss, almost killing Curran, who was playing Harold Mudd, before trying to seduce him a few minutes later.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure she tried to fuck him, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm pretty sure he was going with that.
My memory was different. My memory is he tried to fuck
Curran was going for it. Curran was well up for it.
Yeah.
I definitely remember that he was the aggressor in that situation.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know this
actually, right. he tried to kiss the statue she used as a different, if I'm not mistaken.
She had that weird statue of an elder thing. That's right. I forgot about that.
That was cold and slimy for some reason.
That's a fantastic nomination. I've forgotten about it.
Harold Mudd wanted to kiss it anyway. And she was very, very interested in Harrow Mud, if I'm not mistaken. Joe, what kind of characters are you writing?
Yeah, how much of that was improv? Because that's an amazing character. Like, how much of that was based on just the improv around the table?
Like, it's difficult to know, but I don't think she was an original character. I'm not even sure if the Haggerty House was originally written. If you actually look in the original Wail of the Witch, it's like literally a page and a half long. So I thought it was a filler scenario. We'd get over it in a couple of hours, and then we'd get back on with my story. And it just went on and on and on. So pretty much everything is improv in that.
I do remember if anything ever happened to Spencer, that I would definitely be wanting to take over the Mrs. Haggerty as a playable character.
Yeah.
Because she was just so much fun. Her and her cat, that was just bones that she kept stroking that was under all the paper on the sofa and everything. She was fantastic.
There's lots of equipment, this bizarre paraphernalia, sort of pseudo-sexual paraphernalia.
Yeah, I love the fact as well that, like, Harold Mudd tries to seduce his ancient prostitute, and since then the story's moved on to this lovely romance of himself and Molly,
basically. He's got a child with a beautiful woman, like, meanwhile, he's trying to get with an old woman who's wrinkly and creepy.
Yeah, it was nothing to do with, like, pissing off older gods or whatever. It was, he got hyper syphilis and killed them all.
I have to admit, the story has kind of got away from me. It's not when I sat back
from time to time.
The whole thing, I think, started off as a very short interlude before we did Masks, and somehow it's, you know, 30, 40 hours later, we're still nowhere near in New York.
Like, it's by far our longest arc in terms of episodes and playtime on the podcast, and probably double that has been edited out. So, like, it's about half of the actual recording playtime.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We've cut out so much stuff out of that.
It was too long. It just got a bit crazy in the end. We just wanted to finish it, I think, by the time.
I think it's our best scenario.
Right. Whale of the Witch.
Well, let's not jump in quite yet. Has anyone else got
Sorry, I didn't realise that's a category. Even though I read it.
Oh. Anyway. I'm so glad we chose Owen as host.
Drunken Irishman strikes again. Or the original drunk Irishman. Now we have a new drunk Irishman.
Oh, we're going to be letting him DM next.
Okay, so...
I'm Owen. This is what we're going to do. You all die. Oh, shit. You're the worst, Owen. You're the worst.
Oh, you want someone else to die other than me? So, okay, we've got, that's our first nomination. Paul, since you're the second newest man in the call, have you anyone you'd like to nominate that comes to mind?
Well, Bradley stole my suggestion, bastard. But if I can't go for those, then I think, I don't know if they're technically NPCs or not. I think I think technically in game mechanics they are NPCs, but it was the old couple in the Ghostlight series.
That was my second nomination.
Yeah, in the Deadlight series.
Wait for it. Aaron, please. Just for us, do it.
Oh, God. Hang on. I gotta remember the voice. Oh, yes. I remember now. Oh, yes. I have to channel my inner Zippy to remember the voice, yes. Yes, that's where it came from.
Very Zippy. I remember I was listening to the podcast. I'm trying desperately to lose weight, so I'm going on these big long walks. There's a load of golf clubs around where we are. And I was walking across this golf club getting these odd looks from golfers, and I was just like cracking into fits of laughter walking across it like...
That is a good shout. I mean, as well, that whole scenario where, in a rare coincidence, one of my characters almost dies. They're just talking about calling the police and just blithering out of us.
Carrier pigeons.
Carrier pigeons, yes.
Not in my day. And there's like...
Not in my day.
There's me getting just beaten up by this ignorant alcoholic man.
I'm not sure if I approve of that. The best NPC in our entire podcast is Aaron's NPC. But yeah, we'll think about it.
No,
my favorite NPC was just DeMath when he was like the little kid looking through the mailbox, like, can I come in? No. And everything was silent for like 2 seconds and everyone was like, I don't know what to do.
This is
there was a little kid looking, and then all you could hear is Karen going, you put your penis in the mailbox.
So this is a kid from the Whale of the Wish House in Logan Street. That who was playing the was Lila Street? Sorry, not Logan Street. Was I playing the mother or something?
No, so,
I can't remember. It was Curran.
Was little kid.
I think
Curran
was the mother.
Curran
was the
mother.
Was the kid.
That was it.
And Aaron was trying to get in the door.
Was that the same kid that Aaron and Dave and possibly I can't remember the third actor? It may have been me. I was very drunk for this episode.
I think Curran might have been there.
We start talking. We're standing on the lawn. They start talking. I was like, pretty sure the kid can hear us.
Who's the NPCs? Just to give Joe some nominations. Just throw your vote. the guys who are digging the shit pit in. I think it was the late
digging the shit pit. Which guys were there?
The construction company that was just talking about how it was just digging through shit.
yes, that's still in Whale of the Witch. Yeah, so they're funneling the shit out from
under Lyle Street.
Just got that all the bitter experience of one's life kind of like channeled into I hate my job, I hate my job, I hate my job.
And then they had the skinny guy then who was like their boss, and they all hated him.
Do you know that's like I had a few years behind the shovel as an archaeologist, and there is no hatred quite like the hatred for someone who is watching you dig a hole.
I can see that.
I'm pretty sure it's the slogan of some porn stars.
Oh no, he wants.
So we got any more nominations?
Okay. Yeah, we'll open up to the room. Is there any other one nomination anyone wants to get? There's surely got to be one.
I've got one more. The ghoul from the graveyard that Roy summoned.
That's going to be mine as well.
Squishy flashbacks.
Go on,
I don't think I can channel him anymore. But the thing that on the stream, I had this crazy camera mod that made me come out in like really freaky sort of what was it like sort of black and white but all
negative kind of negative photo effect.
Yeah, it was like a negative but with like hints of green on it and things like that.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah,
it also like I know we call him Squishy Fleshbags, but we could have easily called that character Captain Morgan because he was just brought to you by rum.
I was a long night of drinking, but yeah, I think he'll have to return. At
I think
point,
I think he, in my head canon, he's now been christened Captain Fleshbags.
Well, he does come in everyone's jam. We got tons of Squishy Fleshbags.
Yeah, I'm okay with.
I don't think that episode's been aired yet.
Spoilers!
Spoilers!
Spoilers! I'm way behind here.
I mean, I've got some. Okay. There's some key NPCs as well. There's things like, you know, Lucas Mackey's a big one. We've got. Do you remember the police officer in the Innsmouth campaign that kind of was just a dick and it got everyone's way? Mm-hmm. I really liked the NPC in again Whale of the Witch. You know the coroner who's offering you a dead body.
Yeah, he's quite good.
If anyone mentions Whale of the Witch one more fucking time, I'm going to leave it. The one scenario I'm not here for at all.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
Everyone wants to talk about it. You remember Dead when Dave light. Wasn't here? Such a good game.
The two old ladies in Whale of the Witch were fucking hilarious.
The Tatch sisters.
Henrietta
and Olivia.
Olivia.
Sorry, Dave. Sorry.
I'm surprised that Aaron hasn't... I'm surprised Aaron, as Spencer Randall, hasn't suggested Rita as his favourite NPC.
I never really got much time with Rita, and when I did, like, Harold Mudd just came in and, like, stole the fucking...
Yeah, but he rolled like a one, so he literally failed at trying to get with her, so you should have kept it going.
He rolled like 100. It's called like a Tula, my friend. You're really bad at this interview now.
Oh, no!
Well, the thing was, by that time, I think she got a bit annoyed and chucked us both out. So I was like, hey, here's my card. But then, like, I never really spoke to her.
If that's your best line, hey, here's my card, come on.
I was on the job. What can I do?
Study on.
I mean, as DM, I can't really nominate NPCs. So if it's
like asking which one of your children
nominate. Well, exactly. So if
are we
if
all nominating one?
And I'll choose the
or just the, out of the list that we've already acquired.
Feel free to nominate if you want more. I would say
I do have one more. It's more of a villain, which is I don't know his name, but the guy who bit his tongue off in Deadlights was pretty good.
Yeah. Caught with a bloody tongue.
Yeah, that was pretty insane.
For anyone who actually knows Call of Cthulhu lore, that was a massive piece of foreshadowing.
That all of us missed entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because like, none of us have read Call of Cthulhu books.
If we're talking about, like, well, yeah, none of us have, that's why...
No, you wouldn't. It's completely for the fans. I don't want you to know that, because it's not from Lovecraft, it's from Call of Cthulhu scenarios that we will be playing in the future.
And we have been forbade by Joel more or less from reading Lovecraft.
No, please read as much Lovecraft as you want, but don't go like reading scenarios unless you want to DM one.
There is one character that I feel we have to mention, because he is essentially, for the first 12 episodes, we started in his house. We got to mention Duncan Spencer.
Oh, yeah.
Smith.
He's a
generic old man voice.
Yeah. Oh, what's going on?
Thank you very much for the nomination, guys.
Yeah, the guy who almost got us all killed so he could flip a house, basically.
Yeah, what a fucker.
Oh, I've got a great obscure nomination. Can we nominate that radio from the Walter Corbett house?
Well, I'm not sure the radio is technically an NPC.
Is that the one that you smashed to pieces?
Yeah,
and we've had a few messages from people that have been kind of inspired to play from after listening to our show, and they've said that radio has been a big part of their sort of inspiration. They've used it in their games and stuff, which is really cool.
We have got some followers on Twitch, so if anyone does want to suggest any other NPCs while we're talking about it, we'll call it out, guys.
If we're going for inanimate objects, then all of Spencer's cars.
Oh, God.
Best most unintentional lives, of course.
Can we maybe add the umbrella as well?
Yeah, Gwen,
it's
umbrella.
Called Gwenjo.
Is the umbrella still there?
And the Babe Ruth bat that you lost.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Is the entire umbrella called Gwen, or is it just the duck head?
Oh, the duck head. It doesn't make sense. I'm not as stupid. It doesn't make any sense that the whole umbrella called Gwen.
My nominations would be, so out of the ones you've mentioned, I think I have to include Duncan Smith, because every scenario started with his house and the whole thing's gone around him, and sort of Molly Smith probably in there a bit as well. And then I think we have to introduce Mrs. Haggerty. She was just brilliant.
Mrs. Haggerty.
So what do we reckon?
Mrs. Haggerty was creepy as fuck. I like her though. I like her style.
As much as I love Duncan Smith and would like to argue for him, I don't think you can argue against a sexually active 60-year-old with a blunderbuss.
Yeah, Mrs. Haggerty actually bought one of these off me. I didn't ask questions.
With the creepy dildo statue. I don't know if that's okay for the stream or not.
I'm so glad you're editing this show.
Now I'm going to have to go back and listen to that episode.
Okay, so I'm your hosting. Do you want to do our opening the envelope?
Oh no, feel free to. I think as the DM you should be picking the winners. I'm just facilitating. So.
Okay, so I think our final winner for our first award for best NPC/villain is going to go to the slightly warped and perverted Mrs. Haggerty.
Yay! Oh man, if you go back and listen to her voice and actually do an acceptance speech, it would be amazing.
I have no idea what I can only guess what she sounded like. I can't listen to any of our old podcasts.
You're such a perfectionist, it's really annoying. Anyway. No, the next category, I know it's listed as second best scenario. I'm probably going to leave that till the end because there's a bigger one. Get on to one of the most interesting ones and the best death. So this includes anyone's PCs, NPCs.
We've got to mention the Reverend. We have to.
Got to mention the Reverend.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's got to mention this. Even if it was always
dead. But is the Reverend dead?
Well, technically not dead, is he? He's kind of swapped his soul with, I can't remember what her name was. I'll keep on saying Agnes Nutter,
Mercy
but that's
Booth.
The whole Terry Pratchett.
Mercy Booth, or whatever the hell.
Booth. She's not Arrested Development, it's not Bluth.
Yeah, no, that's what I think.
Yeah, Mercy Booth.
There's somewhere I don't know if they're dead or not. Because I thought the way... I don't know if this would go for like best scene or whatever, but like or my favorite episode, but punching out Nyarlathotep and killing him with that's got to be a bit epic.
It's not Nyarlathotep. It's the crawling. No, what's he called? The faceless one.
the Father of a Thousand Faces.
Well, he's called the Faceless One, so he's a servant of Nerlathotep.
He's the face of him, yeah.
As yet, Nerlathotep is off scene, I think.
I mean, if you just heard
his name and they all had to make sanity rolls and Dave's hair went white
That's got to be the coolest quasi death scene we've had so far. It's just, it was complete bullshit, and we're all going crazy. And it's like, what is Owen doing? He's going to get us killed again.
I mean, it's edited.
Can I point out?
I
may
like,
have
I'm really
saved
sorry,
us.
But am I allowed to do this? can I punch? Of course you can. Exactly.
excuse me, Mr. DM. Can I punch God in the face? Thank you.
What I was saying is, and I read this post that was just up of, what's your biggest pet peeve in RPGs? Mine was players who say, can I please do... That's exactly what I did in that episode, because I was like... But the reason I asked is because, like, I could destroy all of Joe's stories and a lot of information he has to kind of give us. But Joe's a good DM, he can get it in other ways. But I'm like, God, I could really fuck this up for us all.
I think the thing you better remember with the Return to Innsmouth campaign is we played it as the book. So if you look at the mega scenario book, we actually tried to play the entire thing in about 4 hours.
This wee business.
Well, yeah, this was probably me telling everyone what happened for 4 hours. Everyone else got to sit there twiddling their thumbs. But we tried doing it. So, you know, there was a team in the submarine. There was a team that went to the Marsh Management, the team that went to the Esoteric Order of Dagon. And it was just, like, it was reasonably fun to play, but it was a complete clusterfuck to listen to.
It's a bit odd, like, even when I started listening to it, it was like, who am I following here? There's a lot of shit going on here.
It wasn't good, but because they've played it before, they all expect stuff to happen. Like, you know, in the episode that was just come out, the Battle in the Sewers, the reason why Aaron and Dave are going around, like, opening all the doors is when we played it the first time, there was, like, monsters hiding in two of the rooms.
I'm really surprised you didn't put any in the bedroom, main bedroom area, really. I thought you would have.
You played it in Yavaski Audacity recording, did you or something like that?
No, that was a different episode. we don't talk about that.
Shut up.
I'm
going to nominate the High Priest of Dagon, who died on the crapper holding his throbbing rod of power.
Oh.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. That was only recent.
That isn't...
That episode's not released yet, because I don't know what
the fuck
that is.
For the fans in the call, it's not released yet. It's a great
episode.
Thank
you for the spoilers, though. I'm looking forward to that.
I hope I put enough double entendre in there. It's just like, huh? What?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was an awesome moment, because everyone else was expecting it to be like a really serious horror podcast. No, there's no way he's on the crapper. He's like, is he like pushing something in there? It might be. Is he by the door? No, he's kind of in the middle of the room.
What's it sound like? It sounds like this. Oh, God, get out of me!
Is he possessed? Is it?
It's rare for Joe to add in slapstick intentionally. Usually that just happens, but this
That's
was...
our job.
Guys, could I suggest my favorite death where, you know, you were in Innsmouth and your man was in the room with his fucking straitjacket on, and basically Dave went crazy, or Bartholomew went crazy and killed everyone. Could I nominate everyone who died then?
because
you were all like executed or something like that. Like, it was just fucking brilliant.
How many people do I have to kill to not take a sanity check every time I kill someone in cold blood? Apparently, there is no limit every time you kill someone in cold blood, despite the fact that you've seen the horrors of World War One.
There's no dead inside.
Just to go in on this, because it's I don't know, it's sort of a special field for me. There's a couple of books that are written called On Killing and On Death, and it's looking at how people react to killing people in real life. Because after the Second World War, it was found that only 2% of soldiers were shooting to kill, and the rest were shooting up or down. Because it's psychologically really, really, really hard for people to actually kill each other. Like, you can say, oh yeah, of course I would, you know, my life's on the line, but most people don't. Like at Gettysburg, they found muskets, which have, load and shot and load and shot and load and shot and load and shot. And it's just people going through the drill and doing that and then holding it up and not putting the trigger. So this full of shot. Because it's so hard to do, and it's basically psychopaths and sociopaths, and a special kind of sociopath who can actually empathize with people, generally a natural born warrior. Well, just, they call them natural born warriors, and that's how they train people now. But
natural born warriors or Dave Hanukkah.
Yeah, and there's things like so it's like you might do it over and over again, but it will still get you if you're not that sort of person. But if you can establish that he is actually a sociopath, then yeah, go for it.
That's what I've been aiming for.
Yeah. But the thing is, you haven't been rolling to get the manias, and the mania might be sociopath.
So I think at this stage, I established that Bartholomew is probably a sociopath. Also an alcoholic and a troglodyte.
I'm amazed. But I like him. I've been trying to drive him crazy, and I just can't finish him off.
Surely you can choose to take a mania, like restore some sanity and take a mania or something like that. Like,
that's quite a nice idea.
That is a good idea. That's a good home rule.
There's one death that seems to come up every time we ask for a nomination of best moment, which hasn't been mentioned yet.
I was just about to mention it as mine. As much as I would love, because I think
the Reverend, is that
three of the deaths involved me, but the best death has got to be the doctor in Innsmouth. Dr. Bloom. He's being tortured and interrogated by Curran. And by Harold Mudd in Hatton. And I think it was Harold Mudd who originally, he started chanting and he punched him in the throat and he got an extreme success.
I punch him again.
He's joking. How are you gonna heal him? I'm gonna punch him in the throat.
I'm gonna punch him. No, punch him
in the chest. Unblock his airways.
Yeah, it was. He's muttering a chant under his breath. I punch him in the throat. You extreme success. You crushed his windpipe. What are you gonna do? Punch him in the stomach so he breathes again. It's not even the right part of the body to punch him in. That wins him.
Yeah.
He wasn't a doctor. What do you want?
And then he flails and knocks over the lamp, and then he goes, oh, well, I'll just throw his body into the fire and run.
There was probably so much Cthulhu books there. He had a room full of occult shit.
And this house that now stinks of pork for miles around.
Yeah, the reason we're returning to Innsmouth is because there was so much story missed in the original one.
That was kind of a clusterfuck. It's hilarious.
You know, at the time when Dr. Bloom died, Joe was just sitting there like, fuck's sake, what? Every time I try to progress the story, they kill someone.
I love it how Curran jumps on a bike and Ben
jumps on a bike. Away.
Just keep going.
And Curran just keeps cycling on.
Because, Harold Mudd had a darkness mania.
Just noping off into the dark.
Also, I have to give Curran a good respect for that. He embraced his manias of his character. He just went on. Oh. He went crazy. His character went insane.
Joe's biggest mistake was giving him risk taking as a maniac. Because he just did all of his honest shit.
Was that one of the manias, was it? Because we don't have the list of the manias that each character has, by the way.
Yeah, that was something we realised. Some of the fans called out that we don't actually call out the manias. But at the time, he was infatuated with darkness and lack of light. So he'd keep blowing out candles and closing doors and stuff.
And then give him risk-taking on top of it. What the hell, Joe?
And if risk-taking basically made him a bad RPG player, the better he RPGs. It's weird as it sounds.
Yeah, basically, I figured that we were one of the rare podcasts that actually had role-playing in, and it just wasn't right. I needed to turn you into murder hobos. Way too much serious happening.
There's a dark corner over there. I want to go there.
There's one last thing I'd like to mention. It's just because of how long it took and how clueless we were as players around it. And that was the fight with Walter Corbett. It was like, there's a ceremonial dagger. We shoot each other. I punch him in the head. What are we doing? There was just panic.
You literally punched him almost to death.
Is that the first time that Aaron shot me?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the first time.
That is the first and only time.
Oh yeah, you shot me and you shot Owen.
In his defense, I mean, he's not a bad guy. He wasn't trying to shoot you. He was trying to shoot his own father, apparently.
That makes it okay.
Okay, so, Joe, see, as the DM and the judge of this whole thing, who would be your two favourites when we have an argument over the two best deaths?
I think it'd be very hard to miss the player character death. I think we've got to have the Reverend John B. Royce in there, and I think it's come up so many times, it's got to be Dr. Bloom So what do you guys think? Dr. Bloom or Dr. John B. Royce?
Before we make a vote, I'm going to have an argument for John B. Royce, because I genuinely thought I was going to survive and, like, grow back an arm and be cool. Like, I thought I was going to have my character back to full health, and, like, just, I was so happy. And then he was essentially dead.
It would have been fun to run that character as the possessed character.
Oh, can we tell the story of how that was ruined by the Twitch stream?
We could still do it if...
What was it? I can't even remember.
So I host a Twitch stream, and what happened is Joel on Roll20 sent me a direct message on Roll20, which I stream going, "Oh, and you're now possessed by Mercy Booth. You've got to roleplay John B. Royce as Mercy Booth." And all of the players were watching the stream to talk to fans, and they all went... We're on Skype, and I saw all their heads turn left, where most of them have second monitors, apparently. And you could literally see them mouthing the words and their eyes scrolling. It was like, Joe, nothing's going to work.
Since then, we've used Facebook for private messaging.
Yeah.
Can I say, I think John B. Joyce, or Royce, whatever
Royce.
Actually, he deserves bet death, because all of you guys, like, you had all the indicators that, like, you know, Mercy Bluth was a blue spirit and all this kind of shit, and then you shot the green one and you fucking killed him. You're all drunk at the time, I know, but you killed the man in the cold blood. It was obvious who it was.
Niall recently marathoned through our videos and he goes, "You're all idiots for not picking up Mercy Booth was the blue bubbles." I was like, "What?" It was still news to me, like, 2 months later after the recording thing. Okay. And he explained to me, and I was going, "Oh my god,
I picked up on a lot of things watching through it, and I'm like, "Oh my god."
So basically, we're getting a college, you know, literacy degree of reinterpretation of our podcast. It's like, what really happened is I was drunk. Later, interpreters say, "Well, at this point, he was obviously trying to imply that the blue meant that it was a witch."
Hey, kids, remember, friends don't let friends roleplay and drink.
Yes, they do. I called out, "Lads, I'm Irish. Joe's drunk. He's definitely made me the green bubbles. Shoot the blue bubbles." And they shot the green bubbles like dickheads.
Okay, I think I'll have an executive decision. I think we will have a joint award for best death, and it will go to Owen as the Reverend John B. Royce and Dr. Bloom for his horrendously awful death.
Why aren't you getting better?
Why are you dying?
The only way that could have been better is if they took his own fist and said, "Why are you hitting yourself?"
I'm sure I saw this in a medical book somewhere.
from those fantastic moments, it'll lead us on to the next nomination, which is favorite moment. Now, a lot of these will probably double up with some of our other categories, but let's go around the table and see what comes up, because I think there's a lot of moments that they're just quirky one-off lines or little moments which each player has that are held differently. I know about the three fans in the room. For this one, I'm going to go to one of the players, and we'll start with Aaron. Aaron, what's your favourite moment in the podcast?
Favourite moment? Oh, God. Totally not rehearsed, by the way. Like, caught me off spot there.
Sorry, we don't scratch.
No, I know. Jesus, favourite moment. I think it would probably had to be... Can I say moments from pieces that haven't aired yet?
Of course, go for it. They will have aired when this comes out.
I think
Spoilers. Definitely
the toilet scene where we got the cultist. I think that was probably one of my favourite scenes that we've done.
It was hilarious.
That was really funny. I think that's my
really good review. I mean, again, I'm sorry for the fans who haven't heard it yet, but genuinely. Everyone was desperately trying to keep it so serious. Like, I think he's in the toilet, but I don't want to say it because I don't want to ruin the suspense.
Hey, everybody poops.
The throbbing rod of power, yes.
I walked in through a door, and I've been picklocking this door, and I walked through, and Joe says, "Right, you hear a voice in the next room." This voice is like, and I'm like, is he moving something heavy?
I thought someone was being tortured.
Does it sound like a human or a beast?
Does
straight faces.
Is he by the door? Like, is he pushing the door open? It's like, no, no, he's probably in the middle of the room somewhere.
A voice calls down, "Are you done yet?" And he's like, "Give me a minute." And I'm like, oh.
And the funny thing at that point is we're trying to keep a straight face and we have a serious conversation about, you know, are we going to take him while he's on the toilet? Are we going to take him just as he comes out? We sort of, me and Aaron are debating when we're going to take this guy down. And we go into it and we're still keeping straight faces. And we're sort of beating this guy to death with various blunt instruments. And we're still keeping a straight face. And it's like, I grab his rod. And he's like, as you feel the rod, you just feel a throbbing at that point. We just break. I keep beating him with the rod. And you beat him to death with the throbbing.
If you're ever listening to an episode of Annie Arc, episode 4 is normally the end of one of our recording sessions when we're all steamed up and drunk. And an episode, if it's a really long arc, episode 8 is the second recording and towards the end of it when we're all
steamed up. Joe, you're a bad man.
Yeah, that's when all these things happen, basically.
You beat him to death with his throbbing rods.
I have the memory of a goldfish, so I'm going to nominate one, and it is mine, I'm sorry. And it was Joe's response, actually, when the soldier's dying. We just come across this random soldier who's dying. Please.
Oh, yeah.
Here's my girl's number. And so he sort of, tell her I love her. And I died. And I just randomly go, oh, that's a newly single woman's phone number. And Joe says, you're interested in a girl's phone number?
Yeah, as we're talking about Arma, there was a
maybe
great
because
line.
This is completely off the cuff and hilariously funny.
I lost my mind when you said, first of all, your thing of the split second, ooh, I recently divorced lady or a single lady, and then, wait, you like girls?
Like, bang, bang. And then 5 minutes of laughter.
What about you, Bradley? Have you got a favorite moment you'd like to nominate?
I do. I want to go with the moment when you guys first entered Mackie's secret office with all the secret occult things and the weird chairs.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked that one. My reaction was a lot like Bart, just kind of swooning over all the weird books and descriptions we were getting there. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, Bart's reaction was another one that had me getting odd looks on a golf course.
I was
I'm
so
assuming
excited.
You had like headphones in as well, because it wasn't clear last time. I was thinking, what, golf clubs? But you know, you were listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
No, Joe, he's insane.
Sorry, I'm an idiot.
I actually loved when Joe said, describe your chair. I was like, oh my god, I'm so happy. Just immediately, I was like, what can I do? And I just went for like the most generic thing. I'm going to sit in a Cthulhu shapes thing. I was like, god, I could have done better with that. I got so excited and just couldn't come up with anything.
He tried to take mine away. It's like, don't sit in that chair. I'm like, I had this amazing. I've been sitting there listening to everyone else's descriptions and sort of thinking in intimate detail the way this chair looked and why it was hinting at why it was extremely creepy.
I mean, just to give a bit of a shout out to the One Shot podcast, I think they do a lot of kind of collaborative storytelling. And I think I'd maybe listening to one of their episodes and thought, you know, what? It doesn't have to be the DM that describes everything. And I think it's a really, if you can crowbar in these opportunities, I think they can be some of the best.
Yeah, James and I with the One Shot crew are like really good at, he asks them to describe what you're wearing. And I know it's basic enough for role playing, what you're wearing, all this stuff. But then he gets them to describe, they go into a house. You did it in the episode where we shot Aaron. You got me to describe my room. And I was not paying attention to that. I'm not in the stores for ages yet. And you're like, describe this room. I was like, last thing I remember him saying was medical bag. Describe my medical bag. Which is a really bad way to play the game. And it was terrible as clever
story. Yes, and I'm sure that had nothing to do with the fact that you were playing LOL.
I wasn't playing League. I was actually talking to fans on Twitch at the time.
So interesting. Mick, describe your room. And then there was just this 10 seconds of silence where he's like, Owen, that's you!
That's the magic of editing, folks.
I think I left it in because I think it was so funny.
Yeah, we left it in, actually.
You did, yeah. Speaking of talking to the fans, they have nominated some moments. Ryan Lachlan has said, Bartholomew's general campness and one-liners throughout. The reverend's pushing his first aid roll and failing. That's happened many times. Maybe more specific.
Yeah. Can I say what one of my favorite moments was? One of my favorite moments was Harold Mudd and Hatton fighting the crab. I thought that was brilliant. The It's like, oh, I go to grab the crab. It pinches you and cuts your hand open.
That's the most damage both those players took. It was never them getting damaged. It was me and Dave and occasionally Spencer getting damaged. I think that might be the most damage they've taken from anything in Call of Cthulhu. And they've seen, like, loads of action. That's all they've taken damage from. It was so good.
No, but it is typical of our rolling that we kill the faceless one and all these things, and yet a bunch of crabs almost slaughter half the party.
Crabs are always my problem anyway.
Yeah, unless you're taking protection. Way. My favorite moment is also, and again, it's self-indulgent to a certain extent, like Dave's, but Gary on Twitch has also suggested the same one, is when we're in Innsmouth the first time and we're all in the hotel and we're running through the hotel getting chased by the Innsmouth people. And I had this elaborate plan, which I don't know if it came from the podcast. I planned, there was the last room we jumped out the window of.
I felt so bad, but it was so good as well.
There was chests in the room, like human-sized chests. I was like, I'm going to jump in one of these and get behind these three guys and attack them. But Aaron gets an oil lamp that's in the wall and just fucks it against the wall, and the whole room goes up in flames. And
I forgot about all that.
The two boys jump out the window, and I go to follow them. Even though I didn't really want to, I wanted to fight. But then I fail my rolls. Joe goes, you stutter at the edge, and then just don't have the courage to jump. So I was like, I turn around and fight them. I rolled like a god for like five rolls. I took down like four or five NPCs.
And there was fishy shotgun man there and his buddies.
Yeah, and then this actually happened. We took a toilet break, I think, during the middle of it. My girlfriend, it was the first time she listened to us streaming live. And she's like, oh, just jump out the fucking window. Stop being an asshole. Everyone wants to jump out the window. The guys are sick of you fighting.
I was going to say, that's not the first time that we've all felt that.
I use the line on stream, I'm going to walk out the front motherfucking door of this hotel. And she said, they don't want to see you to walk out the front motherfucking door of the hotel, though. And I go to jump, and it's the first roll I failed in about 20 minutes of rolling. I crack my ribs off a roof.
And then you push it, and moron. Then you fail again, which is why you cracked your ribs.
I love the push-roll rule. I think you deserved to walk out the front door of there, just like blood-soaked. the music from Platoon played behind you.
I am Irish!
And that is the moment, the first moment, I think, where Mick Tobin used a club as a weapon. Because he brought his baseball bat and he got off Babe Ruth and it got robbed in one of fucking Aaron's cars and all his fucking goes missing.
Don't leave shit in my car. How many times have I told you?
No, it didn't get robbed in the car. It was in the police station, wasn't it?
Yes, that was outside the police station.
Yeah, my baseball bat, no.
You got a bike. Or it was out like you took the leg of a bed, was it? Your preferred weapon for like an entire season
until I got Gwen.
It's the GM's job to take away the shiny things from the players. That's what you're supposed to.
He gave it to me. He rolled my character and gave me a weapon from Babe Ruth, which I have yet to use
to this day.
Yeah, it's the only thing worse than that is how Dave had a spell for 6 months IRL and didn't use it. We had to go shoot Aaron for him to use this.
Just to use it. That was the only reason why you did it.
That's one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
The actual gunshot scared the shit out of me. I had my head to go back and I was sitting down. No, don't. Because that actual gunshot makes you feel like Spencer felt when that fucking happened. It was like, bang, and you were like, shit!
We've had two people write us on Twitch saying they'll unsubscribe if any gunshots.
Yeah, the guy on Reddit basically said, I love your podcast, but if there's one more loud gunshot, I'm actually going to unsubscribe and
Didn't someone say he was driving when that happened? He almost had an accident.
Yeah, because like imagine that's like in your earbuds or something, and you've got it all turned up and whatever, but it hit the sweet spot on the frequency response of your particular earbuds.
That's what I had. I had the headphones in, and it actually scared the life out of me. Then I was like, this is literally what Spencer felt like. Because he was at a door and he got shot for no reason by Mick fucking Tobin, you asshole.
I mean, kind of shot him. I shot a blood shield, to be fair.
Shot him twice, you asshole.
I'm so glad all the fans are rallying behind me at this point. Like, backing me up. He was an arsehole.
If I was you, I would have went in and I would have fucking punched him in the face. He deserved it.
He nearly got shot. That's how that's how annoyed I was at the time.
The thing that makes that moment even better, Joel puts, we often put our episodes up on Dropbox to ready to download or to upload to SoundCloud. And Joel goes, anyone want to have a listen to this and let me know how it sounds? Aaron listens to it and goes, the gunshot is fucking really loud. And he goes, all right, I'll edit this. And I went back and went, it's still really loud. And I think you may have lowered it twice, and it's still ridiculously loud. There's something wrong with Joe's headphones for gunshots. It just doesn't come up properly. And it's still ridiculously loud.
They're really, really quiet now, because I just can't guess. I just knock 25 decibels of all the gunshots, because I have no idea.
For now on, any gunshot in the podcast for now is going to be, pew. And that's it.
Yeah.
If anyone would like to buy me some new headphones, you go to Patreon right now and you can donate a few dollars each time.
He needs some new headphones. But yeah, don't buy him any.
There's one where you can become a player. And if you want, Niall's still getting interviewed. You play with us once. If you're better than Niall, you get a job.
Probably better than me too.
And not just because we're on the podcast, it's all sort of fake showbiz friendship, but I'll be signed up.
Oh, cheers, man.
Much appreciated.
That's a verbal contract.
We've all got it recorded.
Careful, man.
I'll just leave now.
I'm going to give the last nomination for favorite moment. Deadlight, inside in the diner, talking to this real shitty waitress lady, who's, we find out later on, is staging a robbery with her boyfriend. And Jake,
I'm
the
so
alcoholic.
Happy that you understood that story. That's amazing.
Jake, the alcoholic, who was essentially robbing and molesting a passed out girl on the ground, who I try to stop, punches McTobin in the gut, who's got about 40 stitches from his chin to his navel. Aaron is holding a gun trained on him and doesn't shoot him.
I did have my gun out. I wasn't involved.
And then Curry,
you weren't involved. Your friend was getting punched.
I'll tell you what I like from that run, and maybe even like Best Death or whatever, was where right at the end there was the guy in the gas station, and you were like, okay, we've got this Deadlight thing, and there's this guy. Okay, well, you're not going to do anything to him, are you? You're not going to do anything to him? No, absolutely not. Just trace a little sign, walk away.
Yes.
just drop the mic off, gone.
Actually, because one moment I loved was when Owen actually had the ring and he punched the face man in the head and got the Deadlight to come and fuck him over.
Yeah, I think that whole moment where we mentioned Bartholomew walking into the room, like that whole little scenario, little scene is just a favourite moment of mine. Another one that, there's going to be, I mean, I have so many favourite moments, but another one just popped in my mind as we described the Deadlight is Curran dragging a dead body out of the freezer from this guy who's an imposter. Just randomly, and not connected to the story really at all. It's just a left turn that happens.
It's a pity that Curran is not here, because his character had some fucking brilliant moments.
He slides the dead body out along the floor. It just frozen. It's actually a block of ice. He just kicks it out along the floor and goes, what's this?
I mean, there's two things that I'd been watching. Because when I read the Deadlight scenario, it's a fantastic scenario, but for me anyway, as a DM, I didn't think it was enough. It felt a little bit, I don't know, sort of superficial in some ways. So I wanted to add more to it. So I did all the cultists and stuff. And then the other thing is I'd been watching Identity the night before, which is an amazing John Cusack film. And they just have this guy, he's just taken over this motel, sort of spoilers. And I just thought that's perfect. It would fit really well. And it adds to this kind of general kind of malaise that's taken over the world. So the thing with any kind of Call of Cthulhu campaign is like, why is there so much shit happening? You know, is it an awful coincidence that every town they go to and every city they go to, there's like ghouls and demons walking around? But I quite like the idea that the whole world is kind of going to shit, and it's because of something that's going to come in like 2 or 3 years' time in the podcast.
Unless you go stop it.
We won't.
Which, considering how it's going so far, you're not going to.
we do it for free. The fact that people listen to us just makes it even more enjoyable.
Can I add another Deadlight thing? There's that Benny Hill moment as well.
Yeah. Which Benny Hill moment was it? Oh, with the Deadlight.
Yeah, playing Yakety Sax.
Kuri gets chased by the Deadlight and he runs through the house, up the stairs.
Actually, there's so many good moments in the Deadlight. I know it's Killing Dave, I just saw him writing Twitch. Also the moment when we're chasing, I forget her name, but that shitty waitress lady. And she's after kidnapping the granddaughter of the doctor, and we're running through the forest. Mick Tobin falls and breaks his leg because being punched open in the gut is not good enough. He gets his root cut, pushed.
That's and they kept on running. They left you behind.
Not only is I rolled so they could hear me. I pushed my roll and failed to break my leg. That's when my umbrella, not only a weapon, became a magical instrument, and my leg was fine for the rest of the scenario. Apparently.
I think on that moment, I think we are going to have to.
We have to nominate something.
It's going to be the hotel scene in Escape from Innsmouth, because the entire Escape from Innsmouth basically has a red shadows over Innsmouth, and there's this one amazing bit where he's escaping the hotel. And it's like, right, we have to do a campaign in Innsmouth, and it's been going on for about a million hours now, just because of that 1 5-minute scene, and it was brilliant. It was amazing, you know. So I think our award for best moment is going to be Owen fighting in the hotel room.
Two for two.
I wasn't expecting that at all. I'm chuffed that because it's my favorite moment. But I love me. Like, I'm really going to be modest. I'm really going to be modest. But wasn't expecting to win.
So, yeah, suddenly channeling 200 years of faction fighting. Just
hi there. Hope you've enjoyed our first award show. We'll be back next week with the second half. If you haven't already, please take a moment to drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps us get out to new listeners. And if you really like us, check out our Patreon page to donate a small amount to keep the show going. Thanks again for listening. See you next week.